Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John chapter 21 and verse 3. Gospel of John chapter 21 verse 3. Gospel of John chapter 21 verse 3 reads this way. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Then again, Lord, also being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask that you bless your word, bless us, Lord, your people, to hear from you, and Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit to understand more about you and the salvation that you've given to us and the light that you've called us to be. Again, bless and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, Children, Have Ye Any Meat? Children, have ye any meat? Now, I'm going to do something that I don't really do a whole lot of. I don't know if I've ever done this, to be quite honest with you. But if you have a bookmarker or some way to mark this, put a little bookmark in there and go with me over to the book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to see another account here. And so what we're going to look at are two similar stories with some differences and with some similarities here tonight. And so Luke chapter 5. Verse 5 says this, And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so here we have these two accounts, and we're going to kind of look at them a little bit more in depth and understand that the Lord is wanting really to work with his disciples, and he's teaching them some important truths. And in fact, back up with me right there in the book of Luke, and notice what's going on here in verse 1. It says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, plural. That's important. And so here is Peter or Simon and his other friends that are working with him, and they had finished from fishing all that evening. And notice what happens here. The Lord in verse 3 says, And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, the Lord knew that he was going to ask Peter, after he was done preaching, to do some fishing. Listen, the focal point from the Lord was to deal with the people, was it not? He wanted to share the gospel message with the people, but he was also wanting to deal with us as individuals. He was working in the life of Peter specifically, or Simon here, and he's wanting to do something with his life. By the way, God is wanting to do something with our lives as well. And so verse 4 says this, And now, he says, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And so we're going to look at some of the similarities and some of the differences. The similarities are that both of these events, they're fishing, right? And both of these events, they're trying to catch fish. And both of these events, you'll notice that they fished all night and didn't catch a thing. And so the Lord says, I want you to go out and I want you to let down all of your nets. Now, in the other one, the Lord only told him to throw one net over the side, and you'll see that here on the right side. But in this particular case, he asks Peter to let down his nets for a draught, and that is like a haul. We would say a big haul. I mean, this is going to be so big, you're going to need all your nets. And verse 5 says, And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So that's important. So let's stop and think about that just for a moment. They fish all the night. And let me ask you this. The reason for them not catching fish, was it because they didn't put any work behind it? No, they worked, didn't they? The reason why they didn't catch any fish, was it possibly because they didn't know how to fish? No, that was their business. Possibly, how about this? There was no fish in the sea. No, there were fish in the sea.
But they were still coming up empty-handed. And so the Lord tells them, listen, you let down your nets, and you're going to have a big draft of fishes, a big draught of fishes, a big haul. And notice he says this in, at the bottom of verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net, one net. I'm only going to let down one net. And so the Lord is working with Simon Peter, also as he works with us. God is patient, he's kind, and he's long-suffering. And the best part is he understands how slow we are, really, in just trusting him completely with everything that he said. We kind of look at some things and we say, well, maybe God, that's not exactly how the Lord meant it, right? Maybe I don't have to quite do it that way. So Peter lets down the net. And notice verse 6, it says, and when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. So this is important. So the net's breaking on this one, the net doesn't break on the other one. But notice what happens over here. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish, isn't it? But now we're not told here what size fishes they were. I mean, some of them were small. Some of them may have not been what fishermen called keepers, right? They may have been too small, but they may have been all different kinds of sizes. And so here are these fishermen, and no doubt they saw something they had never seen before. I mean, Peter was convinced that fishing for the day was over. There was no hope to go out again, but out of regard and respect for the Savior, he listened to him, didn't he? And you know, God blessed him, even though he didn't really quite follow through with letting down all the nets. Maybe, we don't know this, but Peter was washing his nets. And he said, you know, if I throw all the nets, I've got to clean all the nets. But if I only throw one net, maybe I'll just have to clean the one net. Now, I don't know that that was his thinking, but for some reason, Peter said, I'm only going to let down the net. And you know what God did? In spite of Peter's not complete obedience, he blessed him anyway. Isn't that amazing? God did. Why? Listen, do you know God is wanting to bless our lives? God is wanting us just to exercise a little bit of faith in him. Question, did Peter exercise no faith, or did he exercise a little bit of faith in the Lord's command? He exercised a little bit of faith. He didn't completely obey the Lord, but he did obey the Lord, didn't he? And you know what? Listen, God gave him, I'm convinced, that they couldn't have caught any more fish. Their boats were sinking. But the Lord was wanting to instill in them that if you'll trust me, I can do even greater things. And you'll do greater things because I'll be with you and guiding you, and you'll be obeying me and following what I'm asking you to do, and I'm going to bless your efforts. Has God changed?
No.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is Jesus Christ still willing that souls don't perish? He's still willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is it still God's plan to glorify himself in his church? And in his church, the Lord's church, now not the whole church is here, but the Lord's church is sitting in your seat. Amen? The Lord's church is sitting in your seat. God wants to bless and build Northwood Baptist Church with the person that is sitting in your seat. Amen? But the wonderful news is God wants to show how big he is, not just in bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, but in blessing our lives to have our confidence built in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to have our faith in him first in order for us to be the light. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was trying to show Peter something personally. Personally, the Lord was doing, listen, they weren't winning souls, were they? They weren't winning souls, but he was showing them something. He was showing Peter specifically in this little event, I want to show you that, listen, that I can make a difference in your life. Now the plan was to tell you all the different reasons why they didn't catch fish, right? Was it because they didn't work hard? Was it because they didn't have the right equipment? Was it because they didn't know how to drive their boats? Was it because they didn't have a Loran? They didn't have a Loran, right? A fish finder. What was the reason? Well, what was the reason that they caught fish when the Lord was there, it was the presence of God. See, God was there at that particular time and guiding them. And so likewise in our lives, when God is in our midst, great things can be accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how do we bring the Lord into our midst? We call upon Him. It's just as simple as that. Lord, we need You and we want You and we're asking You, God, to fulfill what You've promised in our lives. And so there's a process. This was not an easy thing for Peter. The Lord was right there, and so he did this. And would you say they were a little bit astounded? Would you say they were a little bit surprised? Would you say they saw something they didn't expect? All right? God wants to show us something that we don't expect. Because that builds our confidence in Him. So notice what happens here in verse 6. And when they had this done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. We don't know, big, small, whatever size they were. And their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Question, where are all the people that were pressing upon Him in verse 1? They're not there, are they? This is a private revelation for Peter and all these other fishermen that the Lord was wanting to use. Not that God doesn't want to use everybody, but specifically, God wants to reveal. See, if we think that, these revelations, that was just for Peter, that's just for Paul, that's just for the pastor, that's just for the Sunday school teacher. No, this is for everybody. God is wanting all of us to experience His presence and power in our lives. So it says, and they beckoned unto their partners, verse 7, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Isn't that amazing? You know why? We can only speculate. But I would dare say the root of it was, even though he did let down a net, he really didn't believe it. He really didn't believe it. It wasn't because he didn't let down all the nets. That may have been part of it. But the real truth was, when the Lord says, cast down your net for a great draught, did he really believe it? No, because he said, Lord, you don't understand. We're fishermen. We haven't caught a thing all day. You know what they didn't realize? God was in the boat. Amen. God, who can do anything and everything, was in His boat. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us another part of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer? And so the Holy Spirit is in your life and mine as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to trust Him and to be used for His honor and glory in our lives. So notice this. When he saw it, he falls down at the Lord's knees and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished and all that were with him. Do you think maybe that was God's plan? Amen. It was God's plan, wasn't it? Do you know that God wants us to see His glory? Question, did the Israelites see the glory of God? Yes. Did they see it when they were in Egypt? Yes. Did they see it when they were crossing the Red Sea? Yes. Did they see it while they were out in the wilderness? Yes. Did they see it when they were brought into the Promised Land? God's glory was available for every believer to see all the time. And by the way, the cloud and the pillar of fire followed them, and provision was made. So that was available to them as well. And so, He says, listen, he was astonished and all that were with him at the great draught of fishes. And verse 10 says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. Does God want us to catch men in salvation? He does. He's still in the soul-saving business. And verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Listen to that. They forsook what they were depending on and they put their faith to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May we leave what we think we're holding on to that brings us stability and hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and trust Him. And that's a personal work that God does in our lives. God is going to do some things in our lives, and then we'll have an opportunity to trust Him or not to trust Him. So this is one of the accounts. Let me invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And let's look at this last account here, John chapter 21. And this is a different time. So we have the account in the book of Luke was at the beginning of the Lord inviting them into the ministry. This account is at the end here after the Lord's resurrection, right? And so this is at the end of the Lord's earthly ministry here. And verse 1, it says this, "And after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him..." Now, what is he doing? He's reverting back, right? He got a little bit impatient. He got in front of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Have we ever gotten in front of the Lord?
Yes.
We get in front of the Lord. We kind of say, well, let's figure it out this way. And so he says, I'm going a-fishing. Now, I don't believe Peter. I believe Peter loved the Lord. How about you? But he wasn't obeying the Lord at this particular point. He wasn't trusting the Lord. Let me just say that. He wasn't trusting the Lord fully, wholeheartedly. So they say unto him, "We also go with thee." Verse 3, "They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." Same predicament. Remember, he said, "We fished all night." Fishing on the Sea of Galilee must be a night thing, amen? But anyway, they're fishing all night. They didn't catch a thing. Verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." That's the way the Lord does these things, right? Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? He didn't allow himself to be recognized and understood. And so likewise, listen, God is in our midst even when we don't think He's in our midst. And so here is the Lord working. And by the way, let me ask you this about the Lord's concern for the disciples. Did He care? Did the Lord care for them?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he want to build their faith?
Yes.
Did He want to use them to glorify His name?
Yes.
Does the Lord want to build our faith as His disciples?
Yes.
Does He want to win souls through our lives? And listen, let's give the Lord the opportunity. May I tell you, listen, I am amazed. I had the privilege of going to the Little Mosers right over here off of Rangeline. And I put a couple tracks in my pocket and walked in. And there was this fella. He was kind of having a little bit of a difficult time. And I was grabbing a cart. And the Holy Spirit just said, you know, give him a track. Invite him to church. And you know what races through your mind sometimes? Oh, he's going to get upset with me. I don't know how he's going to react to this. And the Lord said, just do it. And you know, listen, I gave him a track. And he said, you know, I want to just thank you for that. I was like, listen. And I told him where our church was at. And I said, look, you know, you just shoot across Pratherville there. And he knew exactly where the church was at. Now, God now has done a work in his heart. It was a friendly exchange. And so we'll see what the Lord does with that. But it was a positive experience. So I went in there just to pick up an item and checked out, and the Lord said, here's another person. And I did the same thing. I gave a track. And you know what that, thank you very much. She was a young lady. Thank you very much. You worked there. I appreciate that. And she said, where's your church at? And I told her where the church was at. She goes, I live off Pratherville. So praise the Lord. Listen, God is in the soul-saving business. Was it anything I did or said? Not a bit. I was just willing to do it. And I would just let you know, just in case you wondered, sometimes giving out a track, I don't know if you've experienced this, can be a little bit intimidating. It can be a little, you might, oh, preacher, you're used to it. Listen, every person is a new approach. Every person you give a tract to, you have no clue how they're going to respond or react. I've had people, you know, get kind of put out. I forgot who it was. I think it was me and Brother Roger. We were out door knocking, right? And this lady had a storm door, and we could see her. She was sitting in her recliner. She had the front door open, and so one of us, I can't remember who, was knocking on the door, and she looked around. Her chair was facing, the back was facing to us, and she looked around and she saw us, and she got up and came over to us, and I thought, oh, she's gonna, you know, open up the storm door. She took the door and slammed it right in our face. And we both looked at each other and said, well, what do you do with that? To the next house, right? But that can happen sometimes. But should that cause us to be unfaithful to the Lord because of one person or the few? My goodness, I can tell you, many have been thankful to receive a tract, and only eternity will bear out what the Lord did with that tract. So as we continue on here, notice what happens here. Verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now, the Bible tells us in verse 3, that night they caught nothing. They didn't catch a thing that night. Did the Lord know they didn't catch anything? But he still asked them, do you have any meat? Now, what is meat? Meat is what sustains us, right? Meat is a necessary part of our life, isn't it? We have to have meat. Likewise also, listen, the believer needs to have conversions. The believer needs to have people that are saved. That what does that do? That builds our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's working as he's promised in the life of every believer as part of the local New Testament church, that he's commissioned to be this witness. Now, listen, it's us putting our faith in the Lord where he will begin to work in our lives and show us and give us the boldness. You know, Paul even asked, pray that God would give us boldness. Do you think Paul ever experienced the difficulties, you know, of witnessing to people that maybe weren't so responsive? But God gave the boldness to continue on and the peace that he was being used of the Lord, because he could look back and see the people that God had given him in salvations. Amen? And may we also have that God wants to give us. There's no doubt about that. But notice what happens here. He asks them in verse 5. He says, children, have ye any meat? And they answered and said unto him, what? No. No. You know, the Lord's asking us, by the way, remember the Lord equated, remember he said, fear not, from henceforth you're going to be fishers of men. And so, Lord, we're not seeing any souls saved. But if we don't ever say anything to him, we're not admitting, Lord, there's a problem. Lord, we don't have any meat. We don't have what Northwood Baptist Church needs in order to grow, in order to become strong, in order to become a better and a bigger witness and a bigger light in Columbia, Missouri. And so, Lord, we do need you, and we have the opportunity to call upon him. So verse 6, notice what he says. They admit it. No, we don't have anything. And so what does he say to him? And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So let me ask you a question. It was because the Lord said, cast it on the right side. But God blessed because they obeyed him. The fish were there the whole time. Amen. But what made the difference was the presence of God directing them to do his will. Amen? Amen. And by the way, that's probably not where they wanted. That's probably not where the Lord wanted them to be, but it was where the Lord used them to build their faith, to bring them back on board with being soul winners, being what God had called them to be originally, not fishermen. He didn't want them to be fishermen, but he used that, and that's not an excuse for us to do our own thing, but he did use that to build their faith in him. So notice again what happens. He says, cast on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Verse 6, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. The net doesn't break this time. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you know who that disciple is? It's John, right? John, he's listen, by the way, that's the one who God used to write this gospel, the Gospel of John. And so John liked to refer to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a good thing, isn't it? By the way, you are that disciple whom Jesus loves. How do you know that? He died for us. Amen. You are that disciple. You could say that too. You know that disciple whom Jesus loves? Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. What would I have without you? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Amen? And it's not because of anything we did by any means. It's because he loves us. And you know, John was thrilled. The apostle John was thrilled with the idea, I'm that disciple whom Jesus loves. And you know, you are that disciple. We are that disciple whom Jesus loves. Now, why is that so significant? And why is that so important? Because he loves us, he will also freely give us all things. Would you withhold anything from your child? Would you withhold any good thing, as the Lord said? And neither will our Heavenly Father hold any good thing from us as well. And so notice this. He says, again, verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It is the Lord. And what happens next? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Where was he going? Where was he going? Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Now, the net doesn't break. But this time, they're numbered, and they're big fish. They're keepers. They're every one of them is a keeper. And so, verse 9, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Listen, they fished all night. Have you ever done anything on the water? I don't know what it is, but doesn't that make you hungry? I mean, if you're in a pool, if you're on the ocean, if you're in a lake, it doesn't take long, but boy, you know, come lunchtime, you're really, really hungry. I don't know what it is about the water. They were fishing all night. I dare say that was a sight for sore eyes, but listen, even a greater sight was their Savior. Amen. God, listen, God was taking care of everything that the disciples needed for sustenance, right? So again, there in verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. He says, bring that. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. I didn't say it. God did. Amen? I don't know why the net broke the first time. That's okay. But he's making it a point because there were so many fish, and they were big fish. The net should have broken. It should have broke, but it didn't. And so, now the Lord speaks to them in verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, don't you love this? Come and dine. That the song like that, Master saith, come and dine. Come and partake. Listen, of what I have prepared for you. You know that's what God wants us to do, is to partake of what he has prepared for us. Do you know he wants to prepare us for his honor and glory on this side and, of course, throughout all eternity. And so Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, as we consider this, the Lord says, children, have ye any meat? Do you have what needs to sustain you? And listen, the truth is, we haven't caught anything. As far as souls are concerned, we've not caught anybody. And so let's tell the Lord, Lord, we have taken nothing. And we need you, God. So listen. What was it that caused them not to catch fish is not as significant as what was it exactly that caused them in both cases to catch the fish, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything but the Lord himself. Do you know what that tells us? Do you know what we need to catch fish? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ask him, oh God, we need you. Oh, Lord, we need you. Lord, I need you in my life. Would you say this to the Lord tonight? Lord, I need you to make me. See, it's not just one person, it's everybody. It's not just the one individual, it's all of us. And so, Lord, would you make me a fisher of men? Would you make me, give me the boldness, give me whatever, give me your power and your strength to tell others about you, and then I think we'll be on board with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I told you what Brother Scott Borland told me. They're having people baptized at least every month. It seems like that anyway. And the Lord's doing a wonderful work. And I said, Brother Borland, tell me, what is going on? And I told you the story in a nutshell. And they just had another young couple that moved in from, I think it was Ontario. Brother John just posted the letters, and they're on the backboard there. They had somebody from Ontario, Canada, that moved because of work. And a church member invited them to come to church. And they came once, and then they didn't come for a long time. And then they came back. And Brother Scott Borland asked him, why'd you come back? He says, there's something different about this place. He said, you know, we can sense the love of God here. We can sense the love in the people, the care and compassion. And God blessed them with salvation, baptized, and added to the church. And they weren't even believers. They had a reverence for the Lord, but it wasn't the pastor that did it. It wasn't the Sunday school teacher that did it. It was a fellow church member that just saw somebody that God moved on. Come, I want to invite you to my church. Amen. Do we have neighbors? Amen. Do we frequent places where we do business, that we're familiar with people? We wave, we say hello or what have you, right? And so God wants us to reach all of the people that are in our world by his power and grace. Lord, we need meat. Amen. Lord, we need you to build. Lord, we need you to make us fishers of men by your power and your grace. Lord, do a work in us. Guide us that would take place, and God will be glorified and we'll be happy and blessed. Amen? Amen. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's say, God, use us. Show us how to walk and follow after you, that we might see souls saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful reminder. You are the one that makes a difference in our lives. We can do all kinds of things, Lord, and they're not bad things, but without you, nothing happens. And so, Lord, we need you to be in our midst, Lord, that we might see souls saved. Bless the invitation, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Draw us near to you, Lord. May we draw near to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.